This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Presents to you the most unique show in sports.
I'm going
to
say something now that some may take as a hot take, and I don't really care because I know that I'm right.
A show so staggeringly awesome and unapologetically original, you won't know what hit you.
Do you ever just get down on your knees and thank God that you know me and have access to my dementia?
Featuring the man himself, Nick Kostos.
For anyone else, oh, he's exaggerating. He's prisoner of the moment. First off, shut up. This is the National Football League. This is not the Big 12. This is not Pop Warner. An absolute disgrace. An atrocity. An affront. One of the most disgraceful performances that I have ever seen in 35 years watching National Football League football.
This is You Better You Bet. Presented by BetMGM. On Westwood One Sports.
What's up, everybody? Happy and merry. Phenomenal. Football Friday to you and yours. This is You Better You Bet with Nick Kostos on Westwood One Sports as we bring you the fastest show in all of sports. The show presented today and always by BetMGM. Make it legendary by downloading the BetMGM app and visiting BetMGM.com. And before we get to all the sports, allow me to say to all of you, the real ones, the listeners of You Better You Bet, our viewers on You Better You Bet, and very much appreciate all the comments in the YouTube chat and the Twitch chat. A lot more of that coming as we move into 2026. A lot more audience interactivity than we've had in the past. Looking very much forward to that. Allow me to wish everybody, including the haters and the losers, I was going to say of which there are many, but there actually aren't, would like to wish everybody a very, very happy new year. I hope for you what I hope for me and my family, which is health, happiness, and success in this, the year of our Lord, 2026. Awesome to be back with you here today on this Friday after a couple days off for the holiday. Thanks to Chris Mack. Thank you to Jared Smith for filling in over the last couple days. Now, unfortunately for me, I am about, and I'm trying not to exaggerate here. I actually don't think this is an exaggeration. I'm about 17 pounds heavier today than I was on Tuesday. And that is thanks to the combination of Surfsides. Oh, let me tell you something. Those vodka iced tea drinks with no carbonation, absolutely sensational. A bunch of slices of pepperoni pizza, a cinnamon roll here, a piece of chocolate bread there. Some Chinese food yesterday on New Year's Day. Oh, man. I looked at myself in the mirror this morning, and I was flat out disgusted. Just disgusted with myself. Hopefully, that is not the same for you and yours. I look forward to going to the gym a little later today and fighting with other fat slobs to get on an elliptical to try and burn off the calories that I consumed over the last couple days. So a very, very, very happy New Year to everybody. I think this year is going to kick ass on the show. And as always, the year will kick ass in the world of sports. And the world of sports today, on this Friday, Phenomenal Football Friday, is absolutely percolating with storylines. And we're going to get to all of them, including my early thoughts and bets for the semifinal rounds of the college football playoff. I'm going to hit you with my thoughts on both games. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've got at least one outright upset winner coming up in the next round. Indiana favored against Oregon. Miami favored against Ole Miss. Also, allow me to sing for the first time in 2026. How does it feel to fire me like you do? a Black Monday. You get that one, man. You are a real one. Black Monday preview is on the way in the National Football League. We're going to go through the NFL teams, and perhaps you are a fan of one of these teams, dear listener and dear viewer. We'll go through the teams that I think could fire their head coach following Week 18, and I will give you all my predictions for how it's going to play out Monday into next week as far as coaches go in the National Football League. We will also preview all the big games this weekend, Week 18 final regular season week in the National Football League. Niners and Seahawks, Bucks and the Panthers coming up tomorrow. The Ravens and the Steelers on Sunday Night Football, and more. All my thoughts on those games, bets that I've got on those games, all the breakdown of Week 18 is on the way, and we will close the show, as always, with our bets for tonight in the world of sports. I love the NBA card tonight, and we have a couple really interesting spots to bet in the NBA. Even have a couple college basketball thoughts, like really good college basketball slate tonight on a Friday, including Michigan State and Nebraska. That's going to be a great one. And Michigan, more than a 3-touchdown favorite, it's basketball, against USC. All of that will close the show. But we begin, phenomenal Football Friday edition of You Better, You Bet, with the best game of 2026. And yeah, we're only one day into the year. But what a phenomenal game it was last night. To paraphrase, I don't know if this is like women say this or just like young people say it. If you can't handle me at my Oregon, Texas Tech, then you don't deserve me at my Ole Miss, Georgia. I'm 42 years old, probably too old to be saying that, but there you go. An instant classic last night in the Sugar Bowl as Ole Miss wins, not quite at the gun, but close enough. Take a listen.
47 yards. And it is good! Right down the middle!
Ole Miss, 37. Georgia, 34. One of the best college football games, playoff or otherwise, in recent memory. One of those games where, as you're watching it, you're feeling it in the moment, right? And I'm guessing you, the listener, you, the viewer, you agree. You were watching this game last night, and you felt it in the moment. You felt it as the game moved on, the gravity of the moment, the significance of the moment, and how awesome a sporting event and spectacle this was on New Year's night. As Ole Miss comes from behind to win and upset Kirby Smart, Kirby Dumb, get to him in a little bit, and the Georgia Bulldogs. So many layers to peel back from this game. Like an onion. Except the only way you're going to cry because of this onion is if you're a Georgia fan, or if you bet on Georgia, or if you had Georgia to win the national championship, because Georgia is out. And maybe you're crying if you're Lane Kiffin, who, you know, decided to take in the LSU women's basketball game. They lost on a buzzer beater to Kentucky instead of going to support Ole Miss. But that is a story for another time for our friend Lane Kiffin. And I actually feel compelled, we will get to everything that happened on the field in the game, to start with the broadcast. And Kenny Henderson just played you the highlight from ESPN Sean McDonough with the call of Lucas Carnero, who looks like a combination of like Adam Vinatieri and Brandon Aubrey. You guys are unbelievable. That guy's going to be kicking on Sundays. There's no question. That's an NFL kicker right there, Lucas Carnero. Sean McDonough, who is hashtag friend of the show, has come on the show like 5 times in the last calendar year. So yes, like I am, and I will admit this, a little bit biased towards him because of that. But there can be no denying this was an A++ call by Sean McDonough, where McDonough and Greg McElroy and the crew like took a great game and elevated it and made it even better. And that is what great broadcasters can do. Take a sporting event that's already great and add a little bit more juice to the proceedings. McDonough was on fire. He was fantastic. He was on top of it, displayed the emotion. 10 out of 10 call for me, for Sean McDonough yesterday. The Fowler-Herbstreit call of the Indiana-Alabama game for me was also a 10 out of 10, but for very different reasons. We'll get to that coming up later this hour. You know, we'll start at the beginning, because this game was noteworthy basically from start to finish. So Lucas Carnero, who's Ole Miss's kicker, who came over from Western Kentucky, maybe like the best signing of the entire NIL, the portal for Ole Miss last year. bangs them home from 55 and 56 to start the game, and Ole Miss takes a 6-0 lead. And I did have money on Ole Miss. I also had the under, which was the DOA of the 37-34, the final score in the game. But I had Ole Miss in the game, and I felt like Ole Miss could potentially win the game, and I've been saying as much for a couple weeks. I don't know why, and maybe you, the person watching, and you, the person listening, maybe you'll agree with me on this. Whenever I see, like, 6-0 early in a game on 2 field goals, I instantly get worried for the team that's ahead. And I think, candidly, the reason why is the 2014 NFC Championship game with the Packers and the Seahawks in Seattle, which is the Brandon Bostic game, and the epic Green Bay collapse, Jermaine Kearse in overtime to send the Seahawks to the Super Bowl, where they would lose to the New England Patriots. Green Bay had two. Now, the Carnero had 2 long field goals. Mike McCarthy settled for 2 field goals early in that NFC Championship game, and I remember thinking, I think the Packers are going to lose. Like, you can't be settling for field goals early in a game of this magnitude. Now, this wasn't that, because they were long field goals by Carnero, but I couldn't help but think in that moment, man, like, Ole Miss is probably going to need some touchdowns here. I don't know if field goals are going to get the job done. But great job by Carnero, obviously, to make those kicks, and he obviously made the game winner. He is one of the stars of last night's game. Georgia, as you would expect at that point, because Ole Miss looks great early on. They take the 6-0 lead. Georgia obviously fights back. You don't think Georgia's going to go quietly into the night. Gunnar Stockton, a couple touchdown runs, gives Georgia the lead in the first half. And Gunnar Stockton might not have been the best quarterback on the field last night, and we will get to the guy that was the best quarterback on the field last night, Trinidad Chambliss. But we do need to say this about Gunnar Stockton. He's a tough son of a bitch. He took some hits in this game where I'm watching thinking, like, he's not coming back in. He got waylaid in the first half, and then immediately rushed up to the line for a quarterback sneak touchdown. Like, what? This is a tough SOB, man. So, like, no, he's not as good as Trinidad Chambliss. I don't even mean that as an insult. But Gunnar Stockton played well in this game. He is not the reason Georgia lost the game last night. I thought he was great. I thought he was tough, and he was nails in the big moments. Not his fault that Kirby Smart couldn't manage the end of the game situation and left too much time for Ole Miss before Ole Miss's drive to kick the field goal to win the game. So I'm curious, for everyone watching and listening to the show right now, if you had the same experience that I did late in the first half, where Georgia is up 14-12 and Ole Miss has the ball. And Lacy, who returns from injury for Ole Miss, one of their stud running backs, fumbles, and Georgia brings it back for a score. And at that moment, Georgia's up by 9. It's 21-12. They had been down 6-0, so they're on a 21-3 run, or a 21-6 run, excuse me. And in that moment, I'm thinking, yeah, like, I think it's probably Georgia's game at this point now. I think Georgia's probably got this one. And Ole Miss has the drive at the end of the first half to try and put some points on the board, and maybe it's going to be a field goal, but you want to get some points there, obviously, heading into the second half. And Ole Miss absolutely screws this up to an unbelievable degree. And you can blame, you know, the receiver who stays in bounds instead of going out of bounds. I did appreciate Sean McDonough throwing Joe Judge under the bus. As a diehard New York Giants fan, I always love when Joe Judge gets criticized by members of the media. As Ole Miss completely blew that, missing a chance to get some points at the end of the first half, and the camera pans in on Joe Judge, and Sean McDonough saying Joe Judge is in charge of the offense, and you can't have this happen. And in that moment, I'm thinking, like, it's done. Like, the game's over. Ole Miss had their chance. They were up early, had a chance to be up by more. Fumble going the other way for a touchdown for Georgia. Chance for points at the end of the first half. You walk away with nothing because you butcher this end-of-half situation. And I'm thinking, man, it's Pete Golding and Joe Judge on one side, and Kirby Smart on the other. And the game's probably done. And Georgia's going to win, and Georgia's going to advance to the next round, and we're going to see the Carson Beck Bowl, Georgia against Miami. And then the second half starts. And I really felt like Georgia had an opportunity early in the second half to put this game away. Where Georgia scores a touchdown and goes up 28-12, I think the game's probably just done at that point. and they get 0 points on their first two possessions. And on the second possession, Ole Miss goes for it on a fourth down near midfield. They don't get it. Georgia takes over at Ole Miss territory and gets nothing on the drive and misses a long field goal. So Georgia absolutely had their chances. The Bulldogs had their chance to blow this game open and really seize control and failed to do it. And then the hero stepped up. The MVP of the Sugar Bowl. The best player on the field. Trinidad Chambliss. Gold all on his chain. Gold all on his ring. Gold all on his watch. Don't believe him? Just watch. Trinidad Chambliss engineered a drive going from right to left on your television screen. Multiple plays in a row looking like, and I actually think I saw some people tweet this, and it's so funny, like the collective experience that we have as sports fans. Because I'm watching Trinidad Chambliss run around behind the line of scrimmage, evading would-be Georgia defenders, and just throwing strikes down the field to open receivers or contested receivers. And if you're of a certain age, and you enjoy football video games, Madden, most notably, I wonder if you were thinking he looked like Michael Vick in Madden 2004, which is the greatest football video game ever made, Madden 2004, the Michael Vick year where he's on the Falcons and is on the cover of the game. That's what Trinidad Chambliss looked like. This looked like it was a video game. Like this was not real life. Where Chambliss decided not just, I'm going to take this game over and I'm going to win the game for my team. It was in that moment where almost like he decided, this is my game. Like the game is now about me. And people are going to talk about me. To the degree that it didn't just become, oh my God, Trinidad Chambliss is the best player on the field in this game, but it became, if Trinidad Chambliss declares for the NFL draft, is he going to be the first overall pick? Arch Manning, just as a side note, was really good for Texas in their bowl game win against Michigan. I wonder if Arch came out, what that situation would be. I'll tell you what, I think there's a chance that Trinidad and Arch would be the first two quarterbacks, not Fernando Mendoza and Dante Moore, with respect to those two quarterbacks. That's what it felt like. Like, is Chambliss going to be the first overall pick in the NFL draft? That's how good this was. That's how special it was. And you can't undersell it. You can't even oversell it. Like, it was so good that everyone kind of stops what they're doing. And it doesn't even become about the game. It becomes about him and how amazing he was. So Ole Miss scores 24-19. And here's where you get the first huge Kirby Smart, Kirby Dumb blunder of the game. So it's 24-19. Ole Miss obviously has momentum at this point. And I'm curious, because, you know, Kirby would never come out and say this. It kind of felt like to me, and I'm not in his head, right? It kind of felt like to me in that moment, Kirby kind of knew, like, oh bleep. Like, we are in significant trouble here. Like, I don't know if we can stop this guy. Kind of had that feeling where this is just like it's a video game, right? And the difficulty's just been lowered to rookie. And he's going to do whatever he wants. Georgia faces a 4th-and-2 on their own 33. And they go for it. And Gunnar Stockton gets sacked and he fumbles and Ole Miss falls on the ball. 2 plays later, Chambliss touchdown pass, 13th consecutive completion. Ole Miss takes a 10-point lead, 34-20. Now, if you've listened to or watched me for any period of time, whether on the old time slot on You Better You Bet, any content I've ever done on socials at the Costos, T-H-E-K-O-S-T-O-S on Twitter and Instagram, you know that I generally skew towards wanting coaches to be aggressive in moments like this. To go for it on 4th down. To go for 7 instead of 3 in certain situations. I will always skew towards aggression. Unless it's patently and plainly obvious that conservatism is the way to go. In that moment, and it doesn't matter that they didn't get it. It's a first guess. I'm watching and Georgia's offense is on the field and I'm thinking like, there's no way you can go for this. You can't. Because if you don't get it, like, Ole Miss is going to score. And maybe your argument is, well, Ole Miss is going to score anyway. Great. Like, let them go the length of the field to score. Don't hand them a free touchdown. Don't hand them a short field where Chambliss goes two plays, 23 yards, and all of a sudden you're down by double digits. I hated that from Kirby Smart. I despised it from Kirby Smart. And it's not just because they didn't get it. They could have gotten it, and I would have hated the call. I thought it was reckless. I thought it was irresponsible. And to use a betting term, Kirby Smart was on tilt. He was tilting his face off in that moment. And, you know, I guess you can't really blame him because, like, he's got this defense and Chambliss is making them look silly. And maybe he's just like, man, like, we're screwed here. Kind of like Belichick on the 4th-and-2 against Peyton Manning. He's probably like, Peyton's going to score. Might as well go for it. That's a little different, I think. That's Peyton Manning in the NFL. This is Trinidad Chambliss in college. Had to punt the ball there. Awful decision by Kirby Smart. So now it's 34-24. Oh my God, like Georgia's going to lose. But Georgia's got the heart of a champion. And Kirby has got a great program, even if I thought he was brutal in this game. And he coached a brutal game for Georgia. Georgia goes right down the field, aided by some questionable, and the officiating was absolutely miserable. Miserable in this game. More on that coming up in a few moments. Georgia scores 34-31. And now it's getting really exciting. And Ole Miss goes 3 and out. Again, that's why you punt, right? At 24, that is why you punt at that point, right? That's why you punt. That's why Georgia should have punted, because they actually got a 3 and out. Georgia gets the ball back. Marches down the field. Get into goal-to-go territory. And here is where Kirby Smart becomes Kirby Dumb. 3rd and goal. You either win the game or you go to overtime if you bleed the clock all the way. Georgia calls a pass. Incomplete. Clock stops. What the hell are you doing? This is one where I've said sometimes you can take like a stoned college kid playing Madden with Cheeto dust on his fingers. Maybe that was me once upon a time. Maybe it was me not that long ago, honestly. And the game management would be better than what some of the college and NFL head coaches do. The fact that Georgia doesn't take the clock all the way down and kick the field, leave Ole Miss like no time to potentially win the game in regulation, is unforgivable. It makes 0.0% sense that this is what Kirby Smart decided to do. No sense at all. Zero. So Georgia ties the game, and you leave Trinidad Chambliss 56 seconds, and Trinidad Chambliss was the best player on the field, so what do you know? On a 3rd down, a ridiculous scramble and a 40-yard strike, and Georgia calls like basically an all-out blitz. The one thing you can't do is let a receiver get behind you. Stribley catches it 40 yards, Ole Miss is in field goal range, and they've got the love child of Vinatieri and Aubrey, and it's basically game over at that point. 47 yards, Lucas Carnero, boom, right down the middle, Ole Miss 37, Georgia 34. And then you had like the insane stuff at the end of the game with like leaving a second on the clock in the onside kick, and Georgia recovers and they do like the pitchy woo woo at the end of the game. And it's 39-34. And if Georgia had scored on that play, I actually think, I don't know if we'd be playing sports today. I think the world may have like hurtled off its axis and into the sun, and we would have all perished in that moment. If Georgia, it would have been the biggest miscarriage of justice since Ric Flair lost the WWF title to Macho Man Randy Savage at WrestleMania 8 at the Hoosier Dome in 1992. It would have been brutal if that's what had happened. Thankfully, it's not what happened, and justice was served, and Ole Miss won the game. But I'll tell you, this officiating, and I don't think games are rigged, and I'm not trying to say that. This was as one-sided for Georgia as it could possibly get down the stretch of this game. A clear missed face mask on Georgia. A horrible defensive pass interference, and then like the extending of this game for like an extra 10 minutes of real time. Insane by these officials. Absolutely terrible. But Ole Miss wins 37-34. Trinidad Chambliss, MVP. And let's call a spade a spade. Pete Golding and Joe Judge. I'll group Joe Judge. I'll give him some credit. They won the game, right? Outcoach Kirby Smart. Imagine that. The defensive coordinator who got the, and got a haircut, looks pretty good. I'm calling for him to get a haircut. It looks good now, Pete Golding. The defensive coordinator, who got the job because Lane Kiffin left for LSU, outcoached one of the best college coaches of this century and a multiple-time national champion in Kirby Smart. What's the argument against what I just said? That Pete Golding and his staff outcoached Kirby Smart and his. Crazy. And Lane Kiffin's watching the LSU women's basketball game. Just, you can't make this stuff up. This is like Hollywood stuff. And we'll see if Ole Miss can truly make it a Disney ending moving forward. Last note here on that game, and then we will spin it forward to the other three games in the quarterfinals in the next segment for the rest of this hour. With this win by Ole Miss last night, and an instant classic, we have a Final Four that feels more like a basketball Final Four than a college football Final Four. Indiana, Oregon, Miami, and Ole Miss. And I absolutely love it. This is why you expand the playoff. So you can get results like this. Think, if this were a four-team playoff, this would have been Ohio State, Indiana, Texas Tech, and Georgia. Could you imagine that? And how much more fun this is? Like, bringing more volatility to the proceedings, where we get a little bit of a shakeup with the blue bloods that are always there at the end, and this is not meant to be anti-Ohio. I wanted Ohio State to win. I lost money when Ohio State didn't win. But we don't have Ohio State. We don't have Alabama. We don't have Georgia. And that's okay, right? Because this is great. This is what we wanted. This is why the 12-team playoff rules, and why I think it should expand even more. I want it to go to 16. I can't wait for this next week. Next Thursday night and next Friday night, the semifinals with these four schools. This absolutely kicks ass, and I think this is going to be the cherry on top of the delicious sundae that is one of the best college football seasons of my lifetime. We are just getting started here on a phenomenal Football Friday, You Better You Bet, on Westwood One Sports. On the other side, we're going to recap the other three games from the quarterfinal round. We will talk about the snooze fest. That was Oregon and Texas Tech. I've got a take on Ohio State, Miami that'll probably piss some people off. But we will begin with Indiana's emasculation of Alabama and what it means moving forward for Kurt Cignetti. You Better You Bet on a Friday. Nick Costos, Westwood One Sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports.
Here's the snap back to Fernando. Has time rolling over the middle. He's got Becker. Oh, what a catch! Charlie Becker! Touchdown, Indiana! Tremendous throw by Fernando Mendoza, but what a catch by Becker, who had to leap and pull it in.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos on Westwood One Sports.
Westwood One, courtesy of the call there on radio, is Indiana, I mean, steals the soul of Alabama, embarrasses Alabama, humiliates Alabama, D, all of the above, 38-3. Wow. I laid the points with Indiana. I thought Indiana could win the game by 10, win the game by 13, 14. I did not expect 38-3, even as someone that liked Indiana to win the game and told you why earlier in the week, because I thought Alabama was going to be one-dimensional and Indiana's a more complete team. I am surprised on the margin of victory and how easy it was for Indiana. And we'll talk about that game in a second, but got some comments in the YouTube chat I want to get to here. And we will start taking phone calls, and we have a text line also, probably next week on the show, but as we move into 2026. But our friend Sports Wager saying it was always Ole Miss. Apparently it was. So Ole Miss won last night. Our friend Anthony Miglior calls Trinidad James Trinidad Chambliss. Trinidad James is the rapper. Winadad, all gold, everything. And a couple people disagreeing with me on my take that Chambliss looked like Michael Vick in the second half of the game. Obviously, Vick is way faster than Chambliss and had a stronger arm, and he's lefty. I'm not insinuating that they look the same. It's the video game comparison. It looked like you were playing Michael Vick and Madden back in the day with him evading those rushers. But appreciate all the comments in the YouTube chat. Keep them coming on YouTube and Twitch, and we will keep interacting with you here in the new era of You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports. So as the game is wrapping up last night, the Rose Bowl, I'm thinking about how I want to try and put it into context, like what had just happened. Indiana, an afterthought, a doormat in college football for my entire life, last had won a bowl game in the 1991 Copper Bowl. Shout out to the Copper Bowl and all the bowls that no longer exist. Indiana hadn't won a bowl since 1991. And Indiana, one of the just deadbeat teams in college football for a long, long time, defeated the preeminent college football program of this generation, embarrassed the preeminent college football program of this generation, and did it not on like a sleepy Saturday in October, not at Indiana, not in Tuscaloosa, at the granddaddy of them all, at the Rose Bowl. Indiana and Kurt Cignetti, to me, Walter White in Breaking Bad. If you never watched Breaking Bad, you should. It's one of the greatest TV shows of all time. Walt is a high school chemistry teacher and works part-time at a car wash. Completely overlooked. Someone who, like, and is evil. We can get that. I'm not saying Kurt Cignetti and Indiana are evil, but someone with all this ability and talent percolating, right? And ultimately ends up becoming the kingpin. And ends up running the show. And ends up bullying the bullies. Kurt Cignetti is Heisenberg. Kurt Cignetti took a floundering operation and turned it into number one. And did it very, very quickly. Kurt Cignetti is the one who knocks. Say their name. You're G-damn right. Unbelievable. 2 years, and Kurt Cignetti has taken Indiana to the college football playoff semis, undefeated, number one team in the country, and absolutely emasculated Kalen DeBoer in Alabama in the Rose Bowl. And honestly, like, if you're Alabama, and if you're Kalen DeBoer, would you rather have lost to Oklahoma? Like, just, like, lose in that game to Oklahoma. Like, have the comeback and fall short. Would that have been better than this for Alabama? Like, is the seat hotter for DeBoer with the way this went and losing to Indiana? At least Oklahoma has got some pelts on the wall. And Indiana's better than Oklahoma, but I think you understand what I'm saying. This is just, I mean, DEFCON 1 right now for Kalen DeBoer, whose seat is, like, currently in, it's not, the seat's not hot. It's in flames. And now just can he survive into next year? I think he'll be the head coach week one next year. But if it starts going poorly, he gonna be out of a job. That's how bad this was. This wasn't like they gave it the good old college try and fell short at the end. No, they got embarrassed. And they got called out for it by the broadcast team. With Herb Street saying, this is embarrassing. With Fowler saying, this is embarrassing. Questioning the fire and the fight and the want to of Alabama. Not some curtain jerking jabroni program. The Alabama Crimson Tide. And Indiana absolutely stepped on their throat. Unbelievable performance. Unbelievable. This felt like a paradigm shift. Like a brave new world in college football with Indiana slamming Alabama. And because Indiana won, we got another really awesome postgame snippet from Indiana quarterback, the Heisman Trophy winner, Fernando Mendoza.
Well, first of all, my team and I want to give all the glory to God. What a historic venue, the Rose Bowl, one of the best venues in all of sports. It's just a great conglomerate of individuals coming together and really forming complementary football. Coach Shig has hit on us no complacency. And especially when you have a bye, it's tough to get in the rhythm of football. But once we got our feet on the ground, we knew that we were going to stick together and come out with this W.
You better, you bet on this Friday. Nick Costos here with you. Happy New Year, everybody, on Westwood One Sports. We are presented by BetMGM. Now, Fernando Mendoza's legit, right? That's who Fernando Mendoza is. There's no question that we've seen enough Fernando Mendoza sound and clips over the years to know that he is being himself. This is like if you ask ChatGPT or AI, hey, ChatGPT, give me like the best answer that a quarterback could possibly give after a win like this. And that's what you get from Fernando Mendoza, who we think is going to be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. We'll see what happens if Trinidad Chambliss declares, or even if Arch Manning declares. But great stuff from Indiana, stuffing Alabama into a locker. I liked Indiana in the game. I never thought I'd say that. 38-3. Kurt Cignetti, Heisenberg, Indiana, the one who knocks. And Indiana, with Ohio State bounced, we'll talk about Ohio State-Miami to close the hour in a little bit. Indiana is now your favorite to win the national championship. And next Friday night in the Peach Bowl, Indiana will have a rematch with Oregon from the game they played in Eugene earlier this year. Because Oregon, in the opener yesterday in the Orange Bowl, in one of the worst sporting events I've ever watched. Like, usually when a sporting event's bad, like, you don't have to turn it off. Like, you can't turn off a college football. Like, especially for me, I got to talk about these games. And I bet Oregon, so like it should have been like, wow, this is awesome. Oregon just got control the whole game. The game was miserable. Oregon shuts out Texas Tech 23-0. And honestly, like, Texas Tech, you wasted our time. You wasted our time. Great, you beat every team in the Big 12 by 22 points or more. Apparently the Big 12's the worst conference ever because you couldn't even sniff this game. And it's not even like Oregon played great. Oregon, like, the final margin of victory, this was like a two-score game for a long time. Texas Tech couldn't even sniff it. Mike Leach in football heaven is probably looking down watching the Texas Tech offense like Marlon Brando in The Godfather when Sonny Corleone gets whacked at the toll booth. Look at how they massacred my boy. Look at this offense. It was offensive. So yeah, credit Dante Moore, credit Dan Lanning, credit Oregon. Oregon got the job done. I just like, Texas Tech, go away. I don't want to hear it. Like, you can't get a bye and be like this upstart team with all this new money and perform like that in a big spot. Because it's one thing to lose. It's another thing to waste the time of everybody that's excited to watch these games. And this ain't a group of five team. It's Texas Tech. And they were miserable in this game. See you later. See you in September, Texas Tech. Bye. And of course, credit to the Oregon Ducks. We got one more game we got to hit in the college football playoff quarterfinals, and we will do that on the other side. As Miami, on New Year's Eve, with the big upset against Ohio State, which made me very sad as someone who was invested in Ohio State to win the national championship. I've got a take on the game that I think is going to piss some people off. I'm excited to share that with everybody. And then I'm going to give you my early thoughts and bets on the college football playoff semifinal and the one outright upset that I have already bet. That's coming up next to wrap up hour number one here on a Friday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports.
A path that's going to see those top seeds go 0-5.
Bain coming. Sam gets the pass away. It's intercepted. Picked off by Lucas.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Kostos and the crew. Presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
BetMGM players will receive an NBA Odds Boost token. To use the token, add a wager made up of NBA bets to your bet slip and activate the token. If you win your wager that was made with the token, you'll receive extra winnings and unrestricted bonus dollars. Download the BetMGM app, visit BetMGM.com, and make it legendary. And at the end of the show, 2 hours from now, I've got a bunch of NBA games that I actually really like for tonight, including one that's contingent on an injury situation. It's early in the morning. It's Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks visiting my New York Knicks. So I'll give you my thought on that game and a couple others in the NBA, and maybe that's where you want to use your NBA Odds Boost token coming up for tonight. Next hour on the show, we're previewing Black Monday in the NFL, all the coaching situations that you, our listeners and viewers, need to have your eye on, coaches that may keep their jobs, coaches that may be fired, everything that I'm expecting to see, and former NFL and college football head coach Dave Wannstedt, our good friend, will join the show as well. Week 18 in the NFL preview coming up in the final hour of the show, 11 a.m. Eastern time. But ESPN's courtesy of the highlight there, coming back from break, is much to my chagrin, someone who was saying all year that Ohio State was going to win the national championship, and Ohio State was going to go back to back. I was wrong. Now, thank God I got the Dodgers home in the World Series, because otherwise, since Ohio State won the title last year, and I had Ohio State last year, we got the Chiefs, who lost the Super Bowl, Duke, who lost in the Final Four, obviously. It had the Chiefs this year, just no bueno. Really wanted Ohio State to win the game, and they did not. They lose 24-14 to Mario Cristobal, Carson Beck, Ruben Bain, and Miami. Now, I did bet Miami in the game. I thought Miami was going to keep the game close, and Miami got slammed in the betting market prior to the game starting. But I did not expect Miami to win, and certainly win in the fashion that Miami did. So I want to be really careful here with how I say this, because I think this is going to anger people, no matter how I preface this. So I want to say this very clearly. So please hear me, all the listeners and all the viewers. Miami deserved to win the game. Miami deserved to win. Miami was the better team. Miami controlled the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. Ohio State was not like an unlucky loser here. Miami deserved to win. Okay. Now I've said that. You better you bet on this Friday. Nick Kostos here with you on Westwood One Sports. Now, I will say something that will make people mad. And it doesn't matter at all, but I just want to say it because I have the microphone right now. And I need to be honest about my opinion. This game, to me, felt like Miami-Notre Dame, the first game of the season, where Miami won that game, and I walked out of that game thinking if they played again, Notre Dame would beat Miami. And if they played again, I think Ohio State would win. I do. Now, it doesn't matter. Notre Dame didn't make the playoff. The committee clearly didn't make a mistake with Miami. Miami's in the Final Four. Miami deserved to win. I am not saying that Ohio State got screwed or got jobbed or anything. Miami won the game on the field. I still think Ohio State's the better team. And you may hear that and be like, you're crazy. What an idiot. And we can disagree. Ultimately, it doesn't matter. But that's my opinion, is that Ohio State didn't get it going until the second half for whatever the reason. And once Ohio State kicked it into gear, obviously Ohio State was the better team for the majority of the second half. Miami had the touchdown drive to salt it away and picked off Saiyan at the end to salt away a 10-point win. I thought if Ohio State had come out and started better, Ohio State would have won the game. And we could talk about who's to blame. And I thought Ryan Day taking the play calling would really spur Ohio State towards better things and a fast start in the game, and it did not. Bain was great. The defensive front was great. Miami's O-line was really good. Carson Beck was not like as good as like Trinidad Chambliss was, but Carson Beck was good enough to win the game. Like, he deserves a lot of credit. So does Mario Cristobal, who I've criticized a ton. Like, who coached a better game in their respective quarterfinal? Mario Cristobal, who everyone criticizes, including me, or Kirby Smart, who everyone deifies, including me? It's Cristobal. It is. So I give Miami a lot of credit. I still can't believe Ohio State lost. And maybe it is sour grapes for me, because I wanted Ohio State to win so I could win bets. Maybe it is a little bit of sour grapes. I cannot believe that Ohio State lost this game. Credit to Miami. I still think Ohio State's better, just like I think Notre Dame's better than Miami. But again, doesn't matter. Miami got the job done, and Miami moves on. And next week, next Thursday night, in the Fiesta Bowl, Miami a 2.5-point favorite against Ole Miss, juice 2.5, 51.5 the total. Next Friday night in the Peach Bowl, Indiana, a 3.5-point favorite against Oregon, 46.5 the total. I was texting late last night with our friend Femi Abebefe, and I just want to, Femi had an opinion that I absolutely agreed with. I do think that Indiana, Oregon, in the Peach Bowl next Friday, is the national championship game. The winner of that game will win the Natty. I don't know what I want to do yet in that game. Think I like Indiana? Not there yet to make a decision. But I will tell you, in the Fiesta Bowl, I'll take the team with the best player on the field to win and advance to the Natty. Give me Trinidad Chambliss and Ole Miss to beat Miami in advance to the national championship game. Hour one done, hour two for you. Coming up on the other side, Black Monday preview on the way on a Friday.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.